Welcome to the MGA Mediocast, the place to be for all your mediocre golf news. My name is Willie Dills, straight Willie Dills, and I'm here, of course, with John Lucky Kick Morley. John, how are you doing?
Not so lucky.
Not so lucky, huh?
Not these days.
Really?
Yeah.
When we played the other day at, Glen Eagles?
Yeah.
You were getting some good kicks out there.
Was I?
Yeah. It felt like you were still living up to your name.
Maybe one.
Yeah. Just not in the tournaments, huh?
Yeah.
Not in the tournaments these days.
Nothing lucky in the tournaments these days.
A lot of good golf in your off days, though.
Yeah.
You put in some pretty good scores when there's no pressure.
Signs of game.
Signs of game. So this is episode, I have no idea. I think it's 21.
I think so. We're legal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I wonder what beer tastes like. And the MGA season is in full swing right now. We've done five tournaments in the 2010 MGA season. A lot to talk about. Everyone just finished their Bradish Opens. We're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to talk about the website. We're going to talk about, of course, the World Championships. We're going to talk about potential new chapters. Mm-hmm. We're going to give you guys a mediocre word of the day. We're going to give you guys some tips, some important tips from the medios. A lot of good stuff to talk about. John, what's been going on with you lately besides not getting lucky kicks?
Yeah, besides not getting lucky kicks, not much else. I've just been looking for those lucky kicks, working on golf, working on grabbing some new chapters for the MGA, some more places to try and get lucky kicks.
Nice. Yeah. Now, I know that you've been struggling with the putter. How's that going?
Yes, thank you, Willie.
let's talk about that.
It's solid from 5 feet out.
Yeah?
But
it's just within that 5 foot circle, huh?
Yeah, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of the yips.
Mm.
Apparently those are
it's a real thing.
Yeah, those are you're able to get those when there's absolutely nothing at stake. I had no idea. I thought you had to be playing for $1 million to get those, but no.
Yeah.
No, apparently playing on a crappy Muni course with nothing at stake, I cannot make a putt from 2 feet.
Well, I think what happens is once you start to get that feeling in your head
that
you can't make this putt.
Yeah.
Before you know it, every time you're within that little range, where you're thinking, I shouldn't miss this. If I do, that's the thing. It's like, I shouldn't miss this. And if I do, that sucks.
It's like you're reading my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, like, you really don't want to do something that sucks.
Right.
So, so you start to, like, get all this pressure on those little short putts. Where the long ones, it's like, if this goes in, that's pretty good. If I miss it, it's not so bad.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So suddenly the pressure's off.
As long as I lag it up there to 2 inches where I can make a putt from,
exactly,
it's not so bad.
And you start dunking them.
Yeah.
And then, maybe what you need to do is start working with the Camacho 9000.
I tried the Camacho 9000.
Yeah.
It's a
funky, funky training device.
Anyone who hasn't seen this, check out San Francisco's latest article. It's a hell of a device. Camacho made it.
It's a 9-ball putter.
In Mexico.
Yeah.
And he's convinced a few people this is an actual training device.
Yeah.
He hasn't sold any yet, but I'm sure he could, if anyone could.
Well, there's only one in the world right now. Yeah. It's obviously a collector's edition because there's one. The craftsmanship on it is unbelievable, second to none.
It is pretty unbelievable how much he actually threaded the last golf ball so there would be no nut on the end of these 9 balls on the back of his putter.
I thought he just glued them all together because this is how I would have crafted a piece of machinery like this.
Yeah.
I would have just super glued a bunch of balls together
and then
it would have broken like the first time I used it. No, Camacho went all out. He freaking put a goddamn screw like through all these things. It's amazing.
It's impressive.
Yeah, it's really amazing. Now, the problem is when you hit it, the upswing causes the 9 balls, which where the 9,000 comes from, to strike the ground.
Well, only 6 through 9 strike the ground.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
But
one through five are totally fine.
This is what he managed to actually convince some dumbass on the practice screen. He's like, no, that just proves that you got to kind of come up and lift with the shoulders
maybe
when you
follow
through.
Maybe you should try that. Maybe that'll make all the difference.
What do I know?
Yeah, exactly. It's, from 15 feet out, take a nice, straight putt. From 2 feet in, you want to lift.
Yeah, lift and
lift
lunge
up. Yeah, so
jerk with the back.
So if you can't tell, we're talking about the chapter page, the SFMGA chapter page from our latest tournament. Let's talk about the Bradish Open.
Mm.
Everybody's had theirs now.
It's funny.
All
you want to talk
five
about that one.
Existing chapters have had their Bradish Opens now. What? Why would I want to talk about that?
I don't know. just rushing straight into it.
Well, you know. Oh, do you want to go to the websites first?
No,
I guess
no,
that's in
no.
front.
I'm kidding. We can talk about your stupid Bradish Open.
Yeah. What happened at the Bradish Open this year, John?
Well, at the SFMGA Bradish Open, straight Willie Gregory extended his run as the greatest player to never win a non-major.
Yeah. Can't seem to put it together in a non-major. I'm really broken up about that.
Winning yet another major, two in a row now.
Two in a row.
And really taking another step towards the MGA Hall of Fame, really.
Yeah.
And right towards the top of the money list, I believe.
I'm at the top of the SFMGA money list right now, which is a pretty...
hallowed ground.
Pretty big feat for me, because...
It is incredible.
I'll just say this, I mean... I am like the quintessential mediocre golfer. Like, I've been hovering around the 18 handicap mark for my entire golfing career. The only time I was not at 18 handicap was when I slipped up to about 21 or so.
Right.
For a little while. But I've been kind of getting it back into that mediocre form. And I mean, you know, I've always kind of said, like, I can contend, but I can't really win. It's hard for me to, like, actually shoot the score that actually wins.
But as an analyst, you've always picked yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
Well, yeah. Well, here's the thing. If every analyst in, like, the PGA had to go out and play the tournament,
yeah,
they'd be stupid not to pick themselves. You got to talk yourself into it, you know? So
Roger Maltby would pick himself.
Yeah, exactly. 2 out of 18 or so picks ain't bad.
That's not bad, actually, yeah.
But, yeah, so the only time I'd ever won before these last two was when there was three of us.
Right.
And we weren't using handicaps, and we weren't using, like, any of the stuff we've got going on now.
Yep.
And I just kind of thought, you know, and then once the fields grew, I was like, yeah, I don't really have a chance to win. And then whatever happened, I wish I knew what happened between the last two tournaments and the rest of my MGA career, because...
I think I know.
Oh, yeah?
And I really, if anyone would like golf help, just play with me, and if you see an aspect of my game going well, just, you know, get your voodoo doll, whatever. Willie stole my putting, Kent stole my driving, bottom line.
There you go. All right. I'm not giving it back either.
It's your putter, man.
Well, yeah, no, when you told me to stand over the putter, that definitely made a big difference, but what I think this has proven to me is that I can actually read putts decently. Now, if I actually can hit the ball where I'm reading the putt, then I'm actually a decent putter. So that's a good feeling to have.
Yeah.
But yeah, this last one, I mean, an 81 is just ridiculous. I had a chance at 79.
Yeah,
I three putted the 18th green to get to 81. I was just thinking, like, all right, if I miss this putt, it's still an 80. And then I three putted and I was like, oh, God damn it. But with, you know, 82 is still, everyone's like, oh, you can't beat that score. It's tough to beat. But.
Yeah. When you're standing over your first putt for a 79,
yeah.
I think it's pretty understandable
three putt. I really wish I'd had an uphill straight putt for 79, but instead I had a downhill left, you know, right to lefter. And
yeah. And speaking of Kent stealing my driving, he jarred probably a 12 footer on 18, the par 6 18 at Chabot.
Yeah.
For his 74 at the Bradish Open. Ridiculous. Like I said, just 270 dead center every fairway. It was impressive. I was in his group and was happy to see him have that round that he'd played 20 years for.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
He hasn't been playing that long, but I mean, it was one of those rounds. You know, it's the reason we go out and play golf every time. Just everything was firing for him. It was great.
Yeah. Yeah, it was funny because we got to the 18th green and everyone was sitting up there on the top. And they're like, you know, get in the hole every time somebody does anything, whatever.
Right.
And then I do my putt and I'm like, that was for 79. And they're like, oh, whatever. And then I go up and Camacho's like, 75. And I'm like, oh, congratulations on your tiny trophy.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden Kent comes into the bar after the round and he's like jumping around and dancing and rapping and like I was like, what is he so happy about? He can't have won the tournament. He can't beat me because he's got whatever strokes. And then I hear, oh, he shot 74, took down Camacho for the Gross Award.
Yeah, and he was pretty damn thrilled about
that. He was stoked. I rode back with him back to San Francisco, and I was like, so, but, you know, when you were playing, did it feel like you were shooting 74? And he was like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's one of those feelings. It's like, just remember that for the rest of your life.
Yeah. Well, that's like what I wrote in the article. He kept smirking like a 6-year-old who just discovered donuts.
You don't, it's so, see, like for me too, like shooting an 81, like the whole time I was like, everything feels good, but I didn't want to talk about it.
Right.
And everyone wanted to like,
yeah.
Like Plemons was like, oh, you're going to win. And I'm like, dude, no, don't. Yeah. I don't. I'm like, the meltdown is coming.
Yeah.
I know it's out there. And on 17, I hit, you know, 17, the uphill, like 186
uphill,
yard,
yeah.
whatever. I took a 3-wood, because for me, that's about like a 200-yard club. And there's wind in our face uphill. I'm like, this will probably be about right. And I kind of turn it over just a little bit. Not that bad. And then I hit the left side of the green, and I just watch it kick down and cross the path.
No way.
And I'm like, oh, it's OB over there. And I'm like, well, I don't think it's can't be going OB. Like, it was barely left, and then it just kind of fell down. I get up there, and I'm sitting on, like, hard-caked dirt down in the bottom, and there's a bunch of, like, wild turkeys all running around, and I'm like, all right, well, it's in bounds. I'm like, but this could be – is this the meltdown? You know, I'm just, like, in my head. It's so ingrained in me that I'm going to melt down at some point.
Yeah.
That I just – I expected it to come, and it just never came. So, like, Kent's probably got that same feeling in his head. Like, he's made giant scores before, you know what I mean? And, like, if you're shooting in the – two over par.
Oh,
weird.
It's ridiculous.
Then it's like it's hard as a mediocre golfer to convince yourself you're not going to have that big meltdown.
Yeah.
Especially you get to the 18th on, if anybody hasn't played the 18th, and I'm sure a lot of people who listen haven't played the 18th.
Are you telling me the guys in Canada haven't played the 18th?
Yeah, probably.
They only play 17 holes.
It's a par six.
OB left.
It's a par six. OB left. I think there's OB right as well. Is it there? Yeah. I mean,
you got to put it pretty far right because it kicks back towards
true.
The fairway.
It kicks back, but it's possible because there are trees up there. If you head into the trees, you can,
Right.
So, I mean, it's a fairly wide open fairway, but there is a potential to really blow up on that hole.
Yeah.
And even if you make a good drive, the second shot you can go OB left again, or you can go way right and get out into middle of no man's land.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just kind of like, it's like a hole where you should really kind of, I mean, everyone is so tempted to try to just muscle their drive up and try to get to that hill.
Yeah.
I know you do.
Of course. OB left.
You hit driver on like the shortest little par fours ever. It's awesome.
I'm doing it.
Yeah. I'm doing it. Screw it.
I've got the power. I'm not afraid to use
he's
it.
He's not afraid.
Yeah.
That's all. He's just not afraid. I was terrified when I got to that par six. I was just like, oh God, I took the most tentative swing with my driver ever. Thankfully, it went right and it kicked back into the middle of the fairway. But I was stressed out on 18 the entire hole.
Oh,
I was just like, oh God. But it feels good winning twice. Now I've gotten 3 out of 4 majors.
Yep.
If I can win the MGA.
Oh yeah, yeah. Career going for the career Moran Slam.
Go for the career kind of Grand Slam. Yeah,
Moran
exactly.
Slam.
Moran Slam. Yeah. Moran Slam sounds so weird to me though.
Yeah. But. You know, enough about you. Let's talk about the field. 16th place, 94.
Yeah.
For 16th. Those poor souls that shot 94 only got 1 cent between them because it's a three-way tie.
I mean, technically, they should have split 2 cents between three guys, but it's kind of hard to do that.
Math is tough. So, I mean, we were talking about this, and does course setup or the course conditions actually make a difference in the MGA? I had never thought it did.
No, I don't. I mean, I've thought that a hard course can make things worse, but not really that an easy course can make things better necessarily. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like I've always kind of thought in the MGA, the winning score is going to come in a few munder. If you shoot like a 97, you're going to be somewhere around 10th place.
Yeah.
You know, but all of a sudden 94 is barely making the money.
Yeah.
Well, and that's just crazy. I mean, a lot of my top 10s are like shooting like 95s.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like, that's kind of the benchmark that, you know, when you're having a bad round, you can kind of go, well, if I just stay a few mover,
yeah,
I'll make a decent amount of money at this tournament.
Yeah. At the four, Fat Mike in 16th with 101.
Mm-hmm.
Bastards.
Yeah. I think in the hundreds, you're generally in the low hundreds, you're generally making the money.
At the Rebel Beach, 99 for 16th. So,
yeah.
Yeah. No, it's gotten a little tougher out there for SFMGA, but
seven players under 90.
Yeah.
That's wow. Yeah, that's big time. Especially considering
you got the two DQs down there too.
Well, yeah, so nine.
Yeah.
Nine players under 90.
They don't count.
They don't count. Exactly.
Actually, they're not DQs, they're TGs now. Too good.
TGs. Too good.
Yeah.
All right.
Matt Clopton 113. I think that's got to be some sort of record for him. Last place, but still, I think that's a great round for him.
That's awesome. We had a couple new guys out there, too. It was good to see. And then we had Adam Spirit.
Mike Bowe.
Adam Spirit, one of the new guys from last tournament, came back and went from horrible.
Nowhere. Terrible.
Yeah.
Really to, embarrassing.
Really, I mean, you probably should have just given up on golf.
Yeah.
To somehow respectable, 89.
89, seventh place.
That's amazing.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. You know, I think the thing is, Andrew Ocon, his buddy, is just holding him back.
Yeah.
You should probably.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Sorry, Ocon.
I like his nickname, though. Rufio.
Rufio. So, I mean, all in all, it was a really good tournament, great turnout, and a lot of really mediocre golf, as well as some really good golf. How many meagles for some dude did we have? 26?
24.
Or 24 plus.
A Malbatross.
Malbatross Clemens. From Clemens. Clemens is on fire.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Some holes.
Clemens is like, right now, he's playing, and the funny thing, like, we're playing, this is two tournaments in a row we've been in the same cart. And so we're both crediting each other with, like, the fact that we're suddenly playing good.
Trust me. He's randomly going to be in my group next time.
you should try it out, man. Whatever it is he's doing, it's working. He's making these amazing shots and then, you know, following it up with meltdowns. But it's cool.
Right.
I mean, four meagles last tournament, a Malbatross. The Malbatross was amazing because I didn't even realize it. It didn't look like he did anything that amazing. He just barely got to the green in two, and then he just made this really long putt, and then he just went nuts. Like, it was awesome. He basically just lost his shit, and he just, Malbatross! And we were all just like, whoa, really? What? Malbatross? Wow. Yeah, so that hole was kind of crazy. My group went 7-munder on that one hole, and that's when we were kind of like, this course is playing easy today.
So, yeah, I guess while we're mentioning it, total meagles. We've got the corporate matching through Preslar for our chapter, which takes ours to 52, but that doesn't sound fair. So my math is right there. All right. 26 for us.
Yeah.
Boston one. And as Vin said, let me see, where was it?
Vin had a good, Vin Ferrara wrote a very good story, by the
way. Very good story for the Boston logo. And he says, we only had one meagle on the day, in parentheses, to the random homeless guy. Hey, we tried, asshole. It was tough out there.
It sounds like it was. Let's talk about the Boston MGA real quick.
But, well, hold on. Finishing the meagles.
Okay.
Five for Seattle, three for Quebec, and four for Conejo Valley, bringing the total on the season up to 147
meagles for some
Munder
dude.
Mar.
Wow.
And that's $36.75000.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's going to be a stoked some dude out there.
So anyway, Nice work, guys. And
let's talk about the Boston Bradish.
Yeah.
It looked like a real good tournament. The story was fantastic.
Yeah.
And so who was our winner in Boston?
Greg
Gagnon. I think the G Gannon. Is silent, so I think it's Gannon.
Gannon?
Yeah.
So it's Ray Gannon?
Yeah, I think every G in his name is actually silent.
Right.
So it's Annan. I think that's how it works.
Ray Annan.
It's Boston. They silent a lot of things, don't they? Yeah, or is that France? One of the two.
Okay, so Ray Annan.
Yeah.
Took it with an 89. Respectable.
Very respectable. The only guy to break 90, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a damn good score.
You know, and maybe I should do a little research here. We got to see what this guy's handicap is. I'm concerned he's not getting enough penalty strokes.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Because I don't think he should be winning these.
John's going to figure out a way to make it so he didn't actually
win. We're going to rewrite the formula for him. Yeah. One penalty stroke.
Okay.
Yeah. He's a 17.3.
Yeah, there you go.
You know?
He just had a good day, man.
He's got a lot of scores in. I'll give him credit.
But what about Randy Peach? I mean, he beat the Fuzz. The Fuzz is the guy who's been winning all the tournaments down there, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So
has Ferraro won?
No, Ferraro is perennial.
So he's just second place all the time.
Every time. Okay. Every single tournament.
Because he's got 3.34 in total money this year.
Let's go back and count him.
Which is
second in the Bradish, second in the FU.
That guy's awesome.
Third in the four.
He maybe needs to change his name to Ferrari and get a little bit more, a little bit more speed going.
No. Ferrari finished 14th at the Bastard. You don't want to be Ferrari.
That's right. I forgot. There's a dude named Ferrari in the chapter too.
And second in the AM. Yeah, he is Mr. Consistent and just can't break through.
Yeah, one of the greatest things about the Boston MGA is the nicknames.
No, they're not nicknames. They're real names.
Got to give it up to the nicknames. And well, no, but Bobby Brussels Sprouts.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
We got the Brandy the Fuzz Peach.
Yeah.
You got Fairway Tim.
who once given that nickname, never hit another fairway.
Exactly, exactly. You've got Benny the Boot, a.k.a. Benny the Pants,
those
a.k.a. El Tecano, a.k.a. Father Ben. A.K.A. I didn't realize I had to yell 4 when drilling a ball directly at my playing partner. La Salata. Yeah. So that guy's got another great nickname.
Yeah.
Really rolls off the tongue.
Right.
Especially when you mix in all the A.K.A.s, which you got to every time, I'm sure.
It's just hard to remember which letters are silent. But...
exactly. G's. Generally G's. Usually L's. Yeah. Silent the L's. You know, your basic rules.
Silent the L's.
So yeah, Boston looks like they had another great one. So the winner actually got the Gross Award as well, which is something that we used to see quite often in the SFMGA until we suddenly people decided to get really
good. 70s, yeah.
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 Jerks.
But I'm sure Kent's gonna enjoy the nationwide tour. It'll suit him well. He likes to travel.
Yeah, exactly. He loves traveling. Yeah. He likes to golf while he travels is the number one thing. So if he could travel two places just for the golf, oh, I think that guy would be as happy as hell.
Yeah. So anyway, Peach, another consistent finish. And I'm looking at the global standings, and this is how many other things I've got going on. We have a tie at the top of the global standings. I didn't even notice that.
Oh, you didn't notice?
That's incredible.
We got a tie between a Seattle player and a Boston player right now.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty cool.
That is cool.
Yeah.
And then third and fourth place are only separated
one
by
cent.
I did notice that.
Yeah.
This is
exciting for me because I'm third place and I'm above Todd.
I can't believe that. I'm sorry, but I'm just in awe of your recent form.
I don't want to like spoil it, but yeah. I'm 1 cent above Todd Benoit. I'm definitely going to screenshot this.
Yeah.
And save it for the rest of my life.
Exactly.
Probably will never happen again. But yeah, and let's talk about Benoit real quick before we move on.
Ooh.
Something's going on.
Well,
it's like, did he go through a sex scandal we didn't know about?
Well, it's like I noted in the article, you know, ever since the belt scandal.
Oh, the belt scandal.
He hasn't really had that same swagger.
That's true.
I mean, those...
Fighting terrorists takes a lot out of you.
Right.
You know, just ask Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah. And, you know, when you're done fighting terrorists, all you can be is the governor of California.
Exactly.
And what's that worth?
Nothing.
But, no, I mean, since the belt scandal... He just hasn't had that swagger. And like I said, you know, if he doesn't do something spectacular soon, the public is losing interest. He's already lost the sponsors.
Yeah. We haven't seen a lot of Todd moments out there on the course.
I mean,
we used to be so used to them, you know, all the time. Like Todd used to come out and everybody else used to just, you know, quake just a little bit in their shoes. Just, wow, there's the champ.
Yeah.
And even at the beginning of this year, he traveled to Boston, won.
Easy.
You know, it's like, yeah, boom, world champ, here I come. And now all of a sudden, I mean, I saw him on 18. He just shoulders slumped, just didn't really look like, like he had it in him.
You know, a 12 on a 240-yard par 4 will do that to you.
Yeah, yeah.
But three OBs, and that's really the thing. I mean, he's capped it consistent. To go OB three times in a row,
yeah,
is well, not like him.
And this was Todd's. This was always Todd's greatest. You know,
Masset.
Masset. Thank you. I was looking for the mediocre version. That he kind of just played like he didn't really like play. He didn't win a lot of long drives, even though he drives very well.
Yeah.
He didn't win a lot of closest to the pins, even though he hits his irons really well. But he just always seemed to score. Right in that 83, 86 range, when it mattered, he made the putts. When it mattered, he hit the green. When it mattered, he made the good chips. And right now, it's mattering, and Todd's nowhere to be found.
Fourth on the global money list. We talk about him like he's dead, just like Tiger, man.
Yeah, I know. Well, come on. He's supposed to be the greatest of all time. We expect big things. Yeah. You go out, you don't win. You don't win, then it's a disappointment.
God, that's like two tournaments in a row he hasn't won. What a loser.
He didn't win the one before that, though, did he?
I think so.
I think he's got a three-tournament drought going on right now. Ever since going to Boston.
Yep.
And he didn't win the first tournament of the year in SF either.
No, he hasn't won in SF this year. Which is all we care about.
Exactly. Well, I mean, it is the grandfathered the MGA chapters.
Yeah. Like an old tree.
Yeah. And the most competitive.
An old tree that we would all probably hit if it were on a golf course.
you gotta say though, I mean, all the other MGA chapters are going strong. We're getting some real good competition out there.
Yeah.
But SF MGA still has the most competition.
Well,
just based on the fact that we have the most players coming out.
Yeah. I mean, it's just.
And the best players.
The age of the chapter, and we're just better than everybody else. And,
mostly.
Yeah. I mean, I'd love to see some other guys come out and try and take us down. Bring it.
Yeah. Except, you know, we can't get to the top of that global money list, though, unfortunately.
Why not?
Too many different people winning. I think what we need to do is we need to have everybody else throw the rest of the tournaments this year
to give me
a chance to get in the top of the global money list.
We could just change the policy. Every other chapter gets 12% less than our chapter.
That's a good call.
And go back and lower their amounts.
Okay. I can dig that.
Yeah.
I honestly think that it's really cool that we've got a lot of other chapters. Like the global money list to me is just really awesome to look at now. Well, because
I wonder why.
Well, no,
third
because
place.
The entire time we've had a global money list has been cool to look at because it's just like here's all the players. Like you look like, oh, here's Dave Armstrong, and here's Charlie Ward, and here's Gabe Elash, and here's,
yep.
And then you start to like once you start to read the other chapter stories, you kind of start to feel like you know some of these other, you know, worldwide mediocre golfers.
Right, you know them through pictures and quotes that their chapter leader
like,
made up.
Like
for
I'm
the
a
article.
Fan. I'm a fan exactly. of Ryan Harper. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like I would love Dude, to if I could turn on the TV and watch Ryan Harper golf in the Seattle MGA.
Yeah.
I would be stoked. I would watch that all day.
If there were a
11
picture,
hours of if, coverage.
Yeah. If there were a t-shirt with a giant peach on it and the fuzz's face in the middle, I would wear that.
Hell yeah. Why not? And here's the other thing. Oh, God. Well, we got to talk about this at some point. The t-shirt. The t-shirt is fantastic.
Yeah. No, the caricature shirt, the 2009 champion shirt came out just perfect.
Yeah. And it's great. And the other great thing about it is, now it gives everybody something to shoot for.
Right.
You got to get on that shirt, man. You got to get a money
get
list.
On the shirt. Every money chapter's money winner will be on the shirt. I mean, with any luck, it's going to be a crowded ass shirt in a couple
of
years.
Oh, hell yeah.
But
that'll be awesome.
Yeah.
We'll be like 60 guys on the shirt.
Yeah. No,
that'll
I mean,
sweet.
You know, elbowing each other out of the way.
Yeah.
Sweep kicking.
So I think, are we going to award Kent a shirt and, you know, just even though he never actually got on a shirt, but eventually we'll start calling him like how many, you know, I got three shirts.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You yeah, know, exactly.
Kent was the money winner. We didn't even have really other chapters. We had Seattle, but that was it, right?
No, we didn't even have Seattle.
Oh, we didn't have Seattle?
No, Kent beat the San
Todd,
Francisco guys. But now Kent has a windbreaker embroidered with 2008 top money winner.
So it is an article of clothing.
It's an article of clothing. But yeah, as you were saying, you know, a way you're going to gauge success is how many shirts do you have?
Yeah, exactly.
Or how many shirts have you been on?
Yeah.
So Todd and those other three guys have one shirt right now.
And we'll say
and
that Kent has
Kent
a shirt
has one
too.
Shirt. Yeah.
So, perfect. I can't wait till I have a shirt.
When we release.
I'm doing it, damn it.
Yeah.
Doing it.
When we release the criteria for being considered for MGA Hall of Fame entry, which we haven't come up with yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm imagining something like, just to be considered, you have to have 10 wins. You have to have at least one shirt. I mean, you got to be at least one shirt to get in Hall of Fame, maybe two shirts. But anyway, the shirts will come into it. And you just got to win your chapter, bottom line.
Well, we could also just do, like after the MGA has been around for a certain amount of time, just one guy gets in every year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you just
but there's got to be criteria most to be qualified. Considered.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah. So I'm going to, I got three.
Not bad.
You got what? Four?
No, I think I'm at three also.
You're at three? Todd's got what? Five? Seven?
15, eight? Six?
I think he's probably got about four or five. Seems like a lot, but it's, I think when you start to think about it.
He might have six.
Because he had three big checks when he showed up to the douchebag. Remember he showed up at the douchebag with like his shirt that had like his global money list, like whatever, and he had three big checks on him.
Yeah.
And that was last year.
Anyways, next year, we're going to have a much more complete custom tournament organization thing on the site, and I'm going to go back and re-enter all the old tournaments, so then we'll have all the accurate stats on how many wins everyone has, and we'll be able to check all that out, because I do have that information. Don't you worry, Todd. We've got the info. It's just not fully organized at this point.
Yeah, well, it's been hard, because it's without a working, viable website, it's hard to collect all the information and keep it perfect and update it in a way that doesn't take 15 hours
The money list this year. I just ballpark it.
There you go. I'm just like whatever, somewhere around here.
Peach, sure, we'll let him lead this week.
Could be. All right, what about the Seattle Bradish? Who won there?
Your shadow.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
Regan and me have somehow shot the same exact score and won both of these last tournaments.
Yep.
In Seattle and San Francisco. So he shot an 81 with his one penalty stroke. So an 82. Took down 1.18. So did they not have 16 players?
They had 15. And Regan is pissed.
Really?
He's pissed. He got screwed out of his full check amount because some guy had food poisoning. It's like, come on.
Just show up.
Yeah, you can
tee off and DQ.
Puke on the course. Yeah, exactly.
Tee off and then go, I can't play anymore. Just whatever. Yeah. Get out there.
So, yeah, that definitely cost Regan. I mean, what is that, 8 cents?
Yeah, it cost him, 118 instead of 1.26. So, yeah, 8 cents.
So 8 cents. Let's see if that had any global impact.
It had probably some, not a lot, I would assume.
Same spot on the money list, but, when you win a tournament, you want full payment.
Exactly. You want to take home that full big check. So. Yeah,
and, while we're speaking of that topic, there's a database that I provide to these chapter leaders. So if they have less than 16 players, they just enter the number of players, it adjusts the purse, and basically for every person less than 16, it takes 1/16 of the purse off.
Yeah.
And that's why that just keeps the global money list a little more accurate. So like Chris Brochu, who's been lighting it up in Canada.
Yeah.
But they only have six players a tournament.
Yeah. And apparently they're only playing 9 whole courses.
Well, that too. Apparently the weather was terrible, but,
it looked like it was,
but he's 10th on global money, as he should be. He's lighting it up. So he should be up there on global money, but obviously
but not number one.
He shouldn't be competing with Harper, Peach, and Gregory, who are beating 15 to 30 guys every month.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, absolutely. It makes total sense. Now, another thing I want to note about the Seattle MGA Bradish Open is that they also had three players under 90. And Regan really needed every bit of that 82 to win this tournament.
Yeah.
Because of Brett Angel.
Brett Angel.
Yeah.
I'm just going to, I'm going to tab through the results here. Let's take a look at the MGA career.
Let's go back through the history of Brett Angel's golf career. It's pretty unbelievable.
And I think we should probably put some music to this in post-production.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah.
Brett Angel, Rebel Beach Am-Am 2010. 15th place with a score of 115.
Wow.
Brett Angel, The Bastards 2010. 16th place with a score of 122. Brett Angel, the Four Championship. A breakthrough tournament for him. 12th place. A 103.
Oh.
Things are looking up.
Almost to double digits.
Brett Angel, the FU Open. Oh, slipped back to 16th place with a 110.
Okay. A little hitch in his giddy up, but it's all right.
All right. Brett Angel, the Bradish Open, 2010. 84.
84?
84.
Are you kidding me?
84.
That's
second
six
place.
Munder. Six Munder. Brett, it's crazy. Steroids.
Steroids,
clearly.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Either that or some kind of weird hypnotherapy that I've never heard of.
I need to see this guy's profile.
Whatever he's doing is the formula that millions of golfers in the world are looking for.
Yeah.
Today. You know what I mean?
Oh, here it is. Here it is.
Oh, what happened?
Picture. He got bit by a radioactive spider.
Oh. Well, that'll do it.
That'll do it.
Superpowers.
Problem solved. All right. Well, anyway, Brett, congratulations on the greatest round of your life. And we hope to see you in the double digits again at the next tournament. Because, I mean, that jumped him up to 12th on the money, I think, for their chapter.
That's amazing. I mean, these are the kind of stories that make the MGA special. I mean, a guy comes out. He's a horrible player.
Terrible.
And all of a sudden, he turns into a very respectable, mediocre player.
Yeah.
And this is like, you know, you look at like the SFMGA, and we'll always have a couple of guys who come out who shoot, you know, in the high 100s.
170.
And, yeah, 171. But these guys have a chance. I mean, Matt Clopton, you can do it, buddy.
Yep.
You can do it.
Much improved.
Yeah, and Mike Vo, Brian Griffin, you guys can do it. Well, maybe not Brian Griffin.
Well,
I don't know if you've ever seen him play.
Somebody's got to take pictures at the banquet, right?
This is true. This is very true. But
can't be taking pictures if he's receiving big checks or money.
Or like back in the day, Raj Soda, the caboose.
The caboose.
He suddenly turned it on, and then a tragic motorcycle accident kind of took him out. But
It took his ankle out. Raj is fine.
Yeah, but it was a near I could walk normal experience.
Right.
And then all of a sudden we haven't seen him back since, you know, it's been a year and a half
Went back to college and started partying.
Yeah, college chicks. That'll do it.
All right, what do we got next? Canejo Valley.
We had a familiar face.
That's right.
Win at Canejo Valley.
Grab the jugs.
One of the Wards.
The Ward family likes to spread out over the MGA.
Yeah.
Charlie's played in a couple tournaments. That's Stacy's dad, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But he's really found his form down in
Canejo
Valley.
Yeah.
This is a lot of wins for him now.
It was a strategic move on his part to go down to Canejo Valley where he could contend.
Right.
Really
what he did is stop driving up here.
Yeah.
8 hours to play
that
in our
That might have
but...
had a positive effect on his game, but I'd like to think more that, there's just something in the air down there that's helping his game.
You know,
now, what's the deal with him and a caddy?
Well,
is that for real? Did he bring out a kid to come caddy for him? Because it looks like he's got a golf cart.
Well, the player is supposed to ride, the caddy is supposed to walk and carry his clubs. So if those clubs aren't on that little kid's back, then this may be a DQ.
DQ.
Is that the kid from The Greatest Game Ever Played?
That's Wee Met's caddy, yeah.
Easy peasy lemon squeezy, Charlie.
Caddy right there.
Yeah.
Shia LaBeouf donated his caddy to the Canejo Valley MGA.
Yeah, Charlie could be looking at a shirt here.
Yeah, Charlie's doing real well out there. Where is he on their money list? Is he in the top? Yeah.
Oh, he's leading
okay.
it. Yeah.
Now, one thing that I love about Canejo Valley is that they just kind of keep chugging along, and we don't hear a lot of them out of them. We don't see an article every tournament, but when we do, it's really cool. I mean, these guys are doing it MGA style. They fully get it. And they're out there having a great time, which is the spirit of the MGA.
And we may see an increase in article production because Christine Hardison has actually taken over interactive.
Oh, awesome.
Uh,
It's good to delegate
down there. Yeah, exactly.
It's good to delegate if you're a chapter leader, because it's a lot of stuff that you got to do. If you can get somebody like John, you know, puts together all this stuff, but then you got me every tournament to collect the scores and kind of do all the little peripheral things that it's hard for one guy to take care of everything.
Right.
So if every chapter leader could get that other guy that they trust.
The number two.
Exactly. That they trust to, you know, to help them out, then they would all, you know, have a much broader grasp of all the responsibilities. So.
Yeah, and Christine, she gets it. She's into it.
Oh, yeah.
She's at every one of their events.
And the only woman ever in the MGA.
Right.
Ever.
Grandmothered in.
Ever.
Yeah.
Forever, although, ever.
Anyways, that's it.
That's how it goes.
Done. Yeah.
All right. Well,
Congratulations, Charlie Ward.
Charlie Ward, yeah, absolutely.
Beat last month's winner, Doug Blanton, by 2 strokes, 2 scores in the 80s with an 87. Nice
there
job.
You go. So another quality tournament. It's getting tougher in the MGA.
Yeah.
We actually had a little bit of a discussion about this. Now, some people were saying, oh, but, you know, it sucks because if I'm this good, it's hard for me to win because I have the penalty strokes, but I can't break 80. And it's like, well, the thing you got to remember, we want mediocre golfers winning these tournaments.
That's right.
So we want the guys who are good to win, but we also want it to, you know, we want it to be a actual competition, which is why we have the whole rule system in place. But if you get to a playoff, like if, you know, like Stacey Warchot, 81, did everything he could to try to win the tournament.
That's, right.
As, you know, basically everything he could. If me and him were to have gone to a playoff or something, we're not going to have penalty strokes there. So, I mean, there is still an advantage to being a better golfer.
Right.
You got to remember, this is not, the MGA is not for good golfers. If we didn't have these rules in place, any, you know, 2 handicapper could come in here,
right,
and win tournaments, and that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, and the other thing is, you got to remember, this isn't Little League. We don't all win. This is the real world.
This is the real world, damn it.
Yeah, we don't all get Laffy Taffys at the end of this and go to Pizza Hut.
We need to change the rules so I can win too. No.
Yeah, no.
You need to get worse at golf. You're too good.
Willie created these rules so he could win every tournament,
exactly.
And that's what's going to happen.
Clearly,
right?
I can win every tournament.
Right.
I need 3 years.
The rules are fine.
I need 3 years to somehow do it. I came out every tournament for 3 years, yep. Never won. Never once did I go, oh, the rules aren't right. These rules suck. No, that's not how it works.
Yeah.
All right, so who else? We have one more tournament to talk about, right? Quebec?
Yeah, man, Quebec.
Oh, Quebec. One of my favorite chapters.
Yeah.
I've got 5 favorites. This is one of my favorites.
Right.
Brochu, one more time?
Nope.
What?
No.
Really?
Denied. And he was going after the 3 in a row, too.
Wow. He could have been the first.
Won the 4 in the FU. We have yet to have the 3. Three-peater.
The three-peat is tough, man, because
yep.
You get those extra strokes added on. Suddenly,
well,
you have to, you know.
Yeah, you'll only have one.
You have to adjust. Well, just, don't I have 2 now?
No. No, it goes away after an event.
I gotcha. So I maintain my 1.
Maintain your
but
1.
I think my handicap did jump to a 17.1.
Exactly. So now you do have 2.
I do have 2, yeah. So
but,
that should be tricky.
But
oh,
I'm
Savard.
Sure. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, man. He's back.
He's back.
With a 37.
What? It's like 85 under par. What's going on here?
So apparently weather sucks in Canada. They played 9 holes.
Yeah.
If this was a legit 9 holes and he actually thought it shot a 37, which I doubt.
Yeah.
This was probably like a par 3
yeah.
or something. But still, I mean, he kicked Chris's ass, beat him by 5 strokes.
Yeah.
Took down $0.47.
Wow.
Which will be like
big
20
time.
Cents once we convert it to American dollars. And,
yeah.
And, you know, got another win out of it. These are 2 guys we're going to have to watch once we actually keep valid stats on wins, because
mm-hmm.
I see those 2 names a lot.
Yeah.
At the top of these
leaderboards. Well, now, the other thing, too, is when... now, these guys, they may be playing in the smallest chapter, but they're definitely not playing in the chapter with the least enthusiasm.
No.
These guys, when they go out and play, I mean, the conditions that I've seen... And the Quebec
the
chapter,
uh-huh.
I mean, it's just unbelievable. Like, we'd probably have half the field drop out if we had to play these places. And they go out there, I see all bundled up, still drinking hard liquor on the course, still making guitar, you know, poses with their clubs, like doing it up.
Got the shovel wedge.
Exactly. They continue to impress me just with their absolute fortitude and love of the mediocre game of golf.
And somehow, through it all, Brochu engaged and still organizing tournaments. It's incredible that she hasn't shut down the MGA yet. But congratulations, Chris.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. If there's one thing that can ruin it's a woman.
Yep. Except Christine.
She makes it better.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Better in a lot of ways. So, yeah, Savard, big grats, dude. That's awesome. I really liked the fact that I'm seeing some of the same names coming out. And these guys, I'm seeing one name that's missing, though. Am I?
Oh.
What happened to our poker ace? Yeah.
Poté? I don't know. You know, maybe he got stuck in an old-timey photo booth.
Or maybe he just got on a hot streak on the felt and he couldn't walk away from that game.
Actually, that's probably it. He's in Vegas right now.
Oh, is he?
No. I'm just guessing.
The one thing that I'm really looking forward to is hanging with those guys again in Vegas in November.
He doesn't miss many events. We'll let it slide.
And he drives along. He's another guy who makes quite a trek to play, right?
Yeah.
Another Janssen. He's the Janssen of the Quebec chapter.
Right.
So.
Oh, that's someone we didn't talk about.
Oh, yeah, we should talk a little bit about Janssen. Janssen, like Benoit.
Going Duval on us.
Yeah, suddenly just disappearing.
Has maybe he even shown up?
Is it Duval? Is he too withdrawn from society and he's hiding behind those glasses? He took out like a $2 million insurance policy on his hands and then
Janssen leading the money list. Two events ago and failed to score at the FU Open.
Maintained the money list lead.
Maintained the lead.
Yeah. That's how big of a lead. That's how good he was playing early in the season.
Earned 1 cent at this one and only fell to second place and has a pretty good lead over third. So, for number one, clearly the four is the championship you have to win because that's the biggest purse on the year.
Yeah, it's a massive purse. Yeah. So winning is a huge boon to your global money list.
That's
standings.
Key. And then after that, apparently you can just phone it in the rest of the season.
Well, he's qualified, obviously, but it's just kind of odd to me because we talked about how he wasn't playing to his potential, and then all of a sudden he was so consistent, and now just disappeared.
It's absolutely sad.
So hopefully we'll see a resurgence from Janssen. I really like the guy. He hits the ball far. Just a nice guy all the way around. We'll see what happens.
Good at karaoke.
Oh, the best. Yep. Best I've ever seen. So that was all our Bradish Opens in a nice 30-minute summary. Let's talk about the new chapters real quick. We don't have them all locked in, but there's a lot of good cities, quality cities.
Exactly.
That may be joining soon.
Soon, our site's going to open with this real cool intro, like you see at modeling agencies, like San Francisco.
Like the Barbizon commercial where they pick up the phone, they're like, "Yes," and I don't know what they're talking about.
No, it's going to be like San Francisco, Chicago, Miami, L.A.
Nice,
like that.
I like it.
But yeah, no, we've got some strong leads. August, the MGA could grow 120% in August.
Well,
let's just say that. But we've got a couple, actually. I'm going to go ahead and say locked in, and you might even notice on the website they're already popping up in some of those drop-down menus.
Mm-hmm.
Baltimore, been talking to them for a while, and they're going to do it. They're doing it, running August tournament. Santa Barbara.
Santa Barbara. Are they going to play an IV?
What?
Isla Vista? You ever been to Isla Vista?
No.
Oh.
Is that...
It's really easy to get laid there. I'll just say that.
Wow.
Very easy to get laid.
You're welcome, Sarah, for bringing that one up. And anyway, Chicago is, I'm pretty sure they're in. And then Kansas City, Vancouver, L.A., which I think Santa Barbara is down near L.A.
They're very close.
Yeah.
So we'll have we'll have the tri-state LA's area, big, the tri-MGA area down there with Caneo Valley.
But
L.A. and Santa Barbara.
But, yeah, MGA great Juan Camacho lives in L.A. now, so he's going to get it going.
We got to make sure he doesn't try LA to change proper. The rules to 75 wins tournaments.
Yeah,
we got to be careful. Watch that guy.
And then the latest little bud of interest came from Miami
ah.
with, with Matty Ice's dad, Frank Inglesby.
Really?
He's looking into it. Frankie.
I saw he placed in the money in the in the Seattle Chapters tournament.
Tied for fourth.
Awesome.
Impressive.
Very good. So. All right, so that's really exciting news. So look for that if you're if you're from one of those chapters and you're listening. We can't wait to have you.
That's right.
Get in on it now so that you can go play in Nevada, Las Vegas.
Kansas City, Kansas. Yeah.
Kansas City, Kansas. Gotta love the state of Kansas.
We're from Missouri.
We're from Missouri. The awesome thing, like, I'm so glad that I've done a couple of U.S. tours, because I've been to all these cities, so I actually have like a little point of reference in all of them now.
Yeah.
And but it's like the most lame one-sided point of reference ever. It's like, oh yeah, Miami, yeah, it was kind of dirty and the McDonald's wasn't open. What was up with that? Oh yeah, Kansas City, they hate it when you call them from Kansas.
Yeah,
don't ever say that. Santa Barbara, easy to get laid.
Got that one. That can be their slogan.
Yeah, Santa Barbara MGA.
Santa Barbara, go ahead and put that in the logo.
Yeah, it's easy to get laid.
Figure out what it is in Latin and put it in that
one. Nice. I like that. All right, let's talk about the World Championships real quick.
Yeah.
The countdown clock. We're at 121 days.
Wow. It's sneaking up on us, guys.
Yeah.
Airfares, you know how they work.
Yep.
Completely random.
If you can buy one, you should probably just go and buy airfare for like something 5 years from now, because it'll be like $2. That's how it works, right?
Exactly. I think so. But they're going up and down. So just keep checking. November 13th with the last chance qualifier. If you're not making the top 10 and you want to play golf in Vegas, you're doing it on the 12th, Friday the 12th.
Yeah.
And if you finish top 10 on that day, you're in.
Yep. So there you go. That's going to be a big day for everybody.
Yeah.
I'll probably just play
right.
That course is awesome.
Works as a practice round too.
But yeah, it's going to be a ton of fun. Keep your eyes on that mgatour.com. Keep your eyes on the upper right hand corner. That's the countdown.
And
it's coming.
Right. And there will be, within a week or two, there will be a dedicated World Championship page for all the details.
Yeah. So, again, thanks to Refuse to Lose Sports for sponsoring us again.
R2LOnline.com.
Dude, the shirt that John James gave me, rad. I'm going to wear it in Vegas and go clubbing. It's going to be sweet.
Bamboo.
You know it. Oh, most comfortable shirts ever. All right, so before we go, because we're pretty much there, let's score entry. Make sure you get your dates correct when you're entering those scores. It's now got a drop down, right?
Well, yeah, guys, put all your scores in, because your handicap is not accurate until you have 6 scores, and then it only becomes more accurate the more scores you have.
So make sure you're putting in all, like, the bad and the good scores.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
You don't want to put in just the good ones you want everyone to see. You want to put them all in, get an accurate handicap.
Yeah, and now we had some issues with the handicap, and some of them were dates being in the wrong format. So there's now the nifty little calendar button next to it, which I think everyone knows if they've ever used any website the last 10 years. When you're entering dates, just click on the calendar, pick the date there, automatically puts the right format, and then everything below is required. You have to fill everything in or your handicap is going to be completely screwed up, and the site's going to crash because of you.
Yeah.
So
you're going to ruin the
MG. No pressure, but do it right.
So do it. Right. All right, quickly, before we go, tips from the medios.
Oh, boy.
Today we're going to talk a little bit about playing in the wind. Playing in the wind.
Ooh. I had some good experience with this recently.
Yeah, well, we played the Bradish in those Bradish Open conditions. I mean, you remember how it was out there. It was crazy.
Well, mine was because I was playing with Kent and he had Fiber One for breakfast.
Also, because he was swinging that driver so good, it was gusting wind all over the course.
Yeah,
playing. I mean, it was like 75-mile-an-hour winds whipping across the fairway, drying out the greens. It was impossible to putt. Crazy.
Yeah.
But we've always had a nice little thing, and it rhymes too for when you're playing in the wind, which everyone knows. The best tips for anything always rhyme. If it rhymes, then you know it's true.
Yep.
Yeah. So if it's breezy, swing easy.
Right.
Yeah. So what you probably want to do is just everything. Just don't even take a full backswing. Just chip at it. I mean, with the driver, with your irons, your long irons, just, you know, half swing or whatever. Breezy. Right. Swing easy.
Yeah.
Makes sense, right?
It's true. The only thing is, Willie, this is the first tips from the media is with a shred of truth to it.
So, well, don't worry. I got more.
Okay. Yeah. No, I did actually, I was at the driving range one day and it was very breezy.
Yeah.
And I was swinging hard, okay, of course. Well, that's, I always do, yeah, as hard as I can.
That's how you do it.
And I have a very high ball flight with a power fade, I okay like to call it.
Yeah.
Some very would just powerful call it a fade or a slice. I call it a power fade.
No, power fade is good. I like that.
But this is a true story. I was hitting my driver very hard, mm-hmm, and it was going about 160 yards.
All right.
And about 40 yards right. And I took the 3-iron and, no lie, did pretty much a long putting stroke and yeah could hit that thing 200 yards.
Yeah.
So, which is it's why weird I say this is, there's a shred of truth to this one. It's just contact. And I think if you just do an extended putting stroke, you have a better chance of making contact.
Okay. There you go. So you should probably even use your putting grip.
And your putter.
Yeah. So claw grip, putter, whatever. Keep that ball low. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
One thing I like to do when it's really windy is I like to put all my weight on my toes.
Mm-hmm.
I like to put my head much farther down. I like to basically grip the other direction to fight against that wind. So, you know, if you're a right-handed player, you use left hand low. It really helps backhand that ball through the wind, which is really important. Another thing you're going to want to do is you're going to want to open the face, almost like turn the club like 90 degrees and just hit it with the hosel, because the face is going to get that ball too high in the air. And what you really want is you want to drive the ball through the wind, hosel it. You know what I mean? It some people call it a shank. No, it's a hosel hit.
Yeah.
So you want to do that, and you want to really, what you really want to do is you want to try to lift the ball, because everyone in the MGA is so bad. Whatever we try to do, we're going to do the opposite.
Right.
So really try to swing up on that ball. You know what I mean?
This is only if it's windy. So if it's gusting, yeah, and the wind suddenly dies down, you have to switch your
grip. Oh, you got to quickly, yeah, before the next gust of wind. Yeah. Because all know the gusts come, you know, in bunches, and you got to, oh, God damn it. Okay. You know?
No, personally, I like to keep all my weight on my knees.
Okay.
And that's good. That's really my swing thought.
Yeah.
All right. Heavy knees. Heavy knees.
Heavy knees. I want it to kind of hurt.
Yeah.
How do I make it so that my knees hurt? Okay, yeah, standing like this makes my knees hurt. Perfect.
Yeah.
Now, when we were playing out the other day, it was not windy at all.
No.
And it was awesome. You could swing as hard as you wanted.
And I did.
Yeah. What'd you end up shooting?
Actually, you had a decent round, right? Yeah, I shot at 87 before penalties.
Yeah.
I still, unfairly, these rules aren't fair, have 5 penalty strokes, even though I've been terrible for at least a month now.
Well, the problem is you're terrible, but you keep mixing in good rounds.
Yeah, that's
with your bad ones. What you have to do,
you have to be handicaps terrible.
The way handicaps work, and the one thing that we got to double check the way that if ours are doing this correctly,
they are.
It'll like throw out bad strokes though on big holes. Like, it'll
oh
throw
no,
out
ours, yeah, we're not doing that.
Yeah, it'll throw out like blow up holes and stuff like that.
Well, first off, we're not entering hole by hole, so
yeah,
it doesn't know that. But also, I think that's bullshit.
Yeah,
think,
it is a little
you
weird.
Know what? I shot a 12 on that hole. I want that in my handicap.
Yeah, no, it does make sense, because you made a 12, like legitimately made a 12, you know?
Yeah.
That's the way it's supposed to be, so.
So, yeah, our handicaps actually may, on our site, come up a little bit higher than the others. Worse.
Better. Yeah, they'd come worse. Yeah.
Worse handicaps. Better for you. That's
better for you, though, in the long run. Yeah. All right. So, last thing, congratulations again, Chris Brochu, for getting engaged. I'd like to give everybody the mediocre word of the Mediocast. We used to do this. We had Fantastic, the mediocre version of that, of course, Mantastic.
Right.
You know, anything that you do, you can add an M to the beginning, and suddenly it becomes a mediocre version of that. Our word today is Medio-ficient, proficient. So this one's a little different because, you know, we're all medios.
Right.
Instead of professionals, we're medio-ficionals.
Mm-hmm.
The definition of proficient is able or skilled. The definition of medio-ficient is kind of abled and kind of skilled. So all of you out there, if you consider yourself a medio-ficient golfer, You should go to mgatour.com, get yourself signed up with a chapter. A ton of new chapters are coming out right now. And if you don't have a chapter in your area, start one of your own. Get in contact with us. Get in on the ground floor of this MGA. It's great. It's fantastic. It'll change your life.
Sure will.
It'll rock your world.
I don't know about that.
It makes it easier to get laid.
Yep.
That's for damn sure.
I am 1/250th on my way to a golden chair.
What?
That's my goal, a golden chair.
A golden chair?
Yeah, that's why I've helped spread the MGA to other cities. I'm putting it all in the golden chair.
You got a golden Mason chair jar?
Yeah. Nice.
Dude, I can give you a golden chair right now. We can go get some spray paint. We can make this happen.
Man, that would be easier.
Yeah, it would be easier. Yeah. Hey, is this chair dipped in gold? All right, guys. So thanks again for listening to the MedioCast. My name is Straight Willie Dills. Of course, John Lucky Kick Morley right here to my left. Final words?
Kind of Lucky Kick.
Kind of Lucky Kick, yeah. John used to be Lucky Kick
used
Morley.
Used to be Lucky Kick. I'm not convinced right now.
Yeah. It'll come back.
I haven't been living my life right, but that's what Vegas will do to you.
Hey, all right.
See you guys
any
there.
Final words before we go?
See you in Vegas.
Keep it mediocre. See you guys next time.